one of the most auspicious and sacred events of the year. When we commemorate the divine descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most beautiful, illustrious, and merciful form of Sri Ram. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskratam dharma sambhavami yuge yuge, that in order to deliver the pious, to annihilate the demoniac, and to reestablish the principles of religion, I descend in this material world again and again and again. Of course, we know that Lord Ramchandraji, he has killed the wicked demon Ravana. He has also killed so many of the other Rakshasas that were rampaging the world with terrible sinful activities. But those activities of killing the demons, the Lord does not have to personally come to tend to. After all, Sarveshwareshwara, he is the supreme controller of all controllers. He is the Paramatma in the heart of every living being. If he wants to kill a demon, all he has to do is, from within the heart, just take his Sudarshan Chakra and just go, and the person will die. All he has to do is send some thunderbolt or some hurricane. He can kill anyone at any time, at any second, through his material nature. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. But the great acharyas tell us the most important reason why the Supreme Lord descends into this world is simply to attract the hearts of his devotees, to simply display such beautiful and wonderful pastimes of mercy and love that it attracts the whole world for all time to come. Lord Sri Ram appeared several millions of years ago. But yet, we find in this room tonight that hearing about him and chanting his names, it is ever fresh. It stimulates the heart with devotion and love. The beautiful pastimes of Sri Ramchandra have charmed the hearts with their sweetness of millions upon millions, unlimited living entities since time immemorial. And it is a fact that simply by chanting and hearing the wonderful pastimes of Sri Ramchandra, one can attain the ultimate perfection of spiritual consciousness. But we must hear with attention, with submissive oral reception. We were describing this morning how Lord Sri Ramchandraji, he appeared like a human being to establish the principle of perfection in every one of his duty and social roles in life. He was the perfect father. He was the perfect king. Such a king that he was even willing to banish that which was most dear and near to him, Sita herself, if it impeded his ability to rule the citizens without suspicion. He was such a perfect king that he treated every subject as his own daughter or son. And therefore, they all respected and loved him like their father. He allowed anyone to come in to his palace at any time with complaints. But the fact is, no one in the entire kingdom had any complaints because they had so much love and trust in their leader, because he loved them and cared for each one of them so personally and with such attention. Can you imagine a politician in that status today? He was the perfect son. When his father Dasarath gave his word that he was to be banished to the forest for 14 years, without hesitation, he left. He remained living and as an ascetic. He gave up the throne and the royal palaces and all of his followers to live in the jungle as a hermit for 14 long years, simply to protect the dignity of his father's name. Is there any such son today? And he was the perfect husband. When Ravana stole Sita, it is the duty of a husband to protect the wife. He was willing and ready to wage war against the most powerful forces on earth to protect his beloved wife, Sita Devi. He was the most perfect disciple. When he was in the forest with Vishvamitra Muni, his guru, although he was the prince who was to be reigned as king of the earth, such prestige, such high birth, the scion of the Raghu dynasty, although he was the supreme lord himself, every day he would massage the lotus feet of his spiritual master. He would massage his legs. He would go and bring water for him from distant places. He would bring wood and start fires to keep him warm. He was the most menial servant of his Gurudev. And he would not do anything without the blessings of his spiritual master. Before taking any decision, he would approach his Gurudev, and with all humility and folded palms, he would beseech that he grant him permission if he so desired. And then only would he speak or act. Now, as you know, for a person who is very downtrodden, it's easy to be submissive to people in superior positions. But he is the supreme absolute truth. He is the controller of all controllers. Not a blade of grass can even move without his sanction. Yet our beloved Ram, he accepted the most humble and menial position before his own devotee, just to show his love. And how Lord Ram showed his love to his devotees. When the great king Dasarath, in feeling of separation from Lord Ram, died, he left his body. He could not maintain his life in thought of his beloved son living in the forest. When the news came to the ears of Sri Ram, he began to weep. He fell unconscious, crying. Some people have an impersonal idea of God. Some people think to be godly means to become your heart and your senses and your mind become hard like stone, indifferent to everything of this world. An advanced devotee of the Lord, his mind and senses become indifferent, to enjoying and exploiting this world. But his heart becomes infinitely soft in love and compassion and mercy toward others. And this is the quality of God himself. When his beloved devotee died, Ram began to weep. But he didn't weep like an ordinary son crying for the death of the father. He was not under the illusion that his father was his body. He had full realization. Just one person, we shouldn't keep walking. All right? You block the way. Just the breeze of their mercy is keeping me cool. I do not require. He was not under the illusion that someone is their body. Krishna explains in Gita, na jayate mriyate vakada chinnayam bhutva bhavata vanabhuya ajonitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarire, that for the soul there is neither birth nor death. It is not slain when the body is slain. Asochanan vasochastvam pragyavaram shtabhashase gathasamakathasun sa nonu shochanti panditaha. Krishna says in Gita that the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead, because they know. Vasamsi janani yatha vihaya navani granati naroparani tatha sarirani vihaya janani anyati samyani navani dehi. Death is nothing more than a change of clothes for the eternal soul. So Krishna is telling Arjuna and telling all of us, do not lament at the death of the body, because it is inevitable. It is due to ignorance of the true identity of the spirit soul. Krishna is teaching that. But in that same personality of Krishna, in his form of Ram, he is weeping and crying and falling unconscious when his father dies. Is that a contradiction? Not at all. Ram was not crying out of ignorance. He was not crying because of the loss of the body of his father, but because he loves his devotee to such extreme extent, he was crying in separation from that devotee. Knowing that his father has gone back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha. Similarly, Jaya Nila Premadana Acharya Narottam Das Thakur, such a self-realized soul, he says, I simply beat my head against the stone, weeping in the anguish of separation when I feel the loss of the association of devotees. How much the Lord loves his devotees. He weeps for his devotees. And then we find the wonderful story of Jatayu. After Ravana stole Sita, he was flying through the air. And Jatayu, who was a large and powerful bird, he was like a vulture, but he was a great devotee. And he was very old. But in his old age, he saw the beloved consort of Ram, Sita, being taken away by Ravana. And he challenged him to a fight. And such a wonderful war it was. Jatayu attacked Ravana and started beating him with all of his strength. But as the fight went on, because Ravana was very young and strong and Jatayu was old, he became very tired, and Ravana, taking the opportunity, sliced off his rings. Bleeding profusely, he laid on the ground, approaching death. And later on, Lord Ram, he came to that place, and he saw Jatayu, and he realized
that this devotee risked his life for me.
This devotee was willing to do what was impossible for me. He could have easily said, "Ravana, what can I do? I'm an old man. I cannot possibly defend her," and let them go by and spared his life. But Jatayu knew that it was most likely that he was going to be brutally and violently killed. But he was willing to accept death in the service of the Lord. And when Lord Ramchandra saw his devotee laying there in terrible pain, bleeding, he began to weep. "What my devotee does for me. He has given his life." And with Jatayu laying within the arms of Ram, looking at his beautiful face, he departed for the spiritual world. And Lord Ramchandra personally, with a heart filled of love, he performed the funeral rites for his devotee with his own hands. The most extraordinary and wonderful thing in all of creation is the exchange of love between the Lord and his devotees. And it is this relationship which is revealed in such a wonderful way when the Lord appears on this earth. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, maranyatena janati naham thebhyo managapi. Lord Narayan says that the sadhu, my devotee, he knows nothing and no one but me. And therefore, I know no one but my devotee. My devotee has surrendered everything within life to me. And therefore, I surrender everything within my life to my devotee. This is bhakti. This is the goal that every spirit soul should strive for at every moment of our life, to enter into this loving exchange with the Supreme Personality of God. Lord Sri Ramchandra, he wanted to establish what the real qualities of a devotee truly are. Sometimes people are very much attached to material considerations, such as caste, nationality, educational qualifications, high birth. But who were Ram's most intimate associates? Maharaj Guha was a Nishada. Nishada means an outcast, untouchable caste by social standards. But when Lord Ram came through the forest of Guha, with his own hands he made a bed of leaves for the Lord to lay upon. With his own hands, although he was a jungle dweller, very poor, he went and picked with his own hands fruits and herbs and presented it to the Lord. The Lord accepted that leaf bed with more pleasure than the most beautiful silken beds of the kingdom of Ayodhya. He accepted these simple roots and fruits with more pleasure than the most succulent and opulent foodstuffs offered by the best of all cooks of the kingdom of Ayodhya.
because they were offered with such love, with such feeling, with such simplicity. Of course, the greatest of all the devotees of Sri Ram is Hanumanji. What to speak of untouchable humans? He was not even a human. He was a monkey. By worldly standards, he was an animal. But because of his simple devotion and his willingness to do anything and everything for the pleasure of his Lord, Sri Ram, Lord Ram gave Hanuman eternally the highest position of bhakti for all people, for all time to come, to take example from. The story of Ramayana is a story of bhakti, the story of the love between the Lord and his devotees. How the devotees are willing to forsake everything for the pleasure of Ram. We read about Bharat. After Ram was exiled to the forest by Kaikeyi, he was supposed to become the king. Such a wonderful, powerful position. But when Bharat heard that his elder brother had been banished to the forest for 14 years just so that he could sit on the throne, he began to weep. And he made a firm resolution that I will take all the citizens to the jungles, and we will find Ram, and I will take his banishment to the forest for 14 years, and I will demand that he comes and sit on the throne and becomes king. And seeing such selfless devotion, all the citizens of Ayodhya were struck with wonder. They all followed him. There were 60,000 chariots, 9,000 elephants, hundreds and thousands of infantry, and millions of people, all going through the forest to the holy land of Chitrakoot. And when they came to the hermitage of Sri Ram, who was living in a little thatched hut made out of straw and dirt, Bharat and Ram embraced with great love. And Bharat petitioned Lord Sri Ram that on behalf of all the kingdom of Ayodhya, I am humbly requesting that you return to your capital, Ayodhya, and rule us all with great, great courage. And I will take your exile upon my own head and remain in this forest, dressed in tree bark, mat my hair, and live on the hard ground. Upon hearing this, Ram was filled with love. But with great firmness, he said, "No, Bharat, not possible. Our departed father has given me this order. Although it was totally against his will, therefore, I must remain in this forest." At that time, Ram's mother, Kaushalya, and the other queens, and the great Brahmin priests headed by Vashishta, and Bharat, and Lakshman, and Satrughna, and all the citizens of Ayodhya were begging and pleading, "Ram, please come home." He said to Bharat, "You must on my behalf, rule this kingdom. What was the nature of Bharat's love? With folded hands, he said, Sri Ram, we have brought all the paraphernalia to coronate you as king right here and now. Please accept it. Ram said, no, I will remain in the forest. I must live by truth. So Bharat said, Sri Ram, if you will not return, then I will enthrone your wooden sandals as king. And he put down wooden sandals and said, Ram, you please touch your feet to these sandals. And Ram placed his foot on the sandals, and Bharat, with great affection, placed them on his head and had a royal procession for the sandals of Ram back to Ayodhya. And Bharat put those sandals on the throne and coronated as king. And knowing his brother was living in the forest doing austerities, although Bharat, who was supposed to be the king, he went to a forest nearby Ayodhya called Nandagram. He lived on the hard ground in a little thatched hut. He wore tree bark only as clothes. He matted his hair, and for 14 long years, he only ate barley cooked in cow urine. And when any problem came in this kingdom, and he was expected to solve it, he would go and he would offer his obeisances to the sandals of Ram. He would offer worship to the sandals of Ram. And on behalf of those shoes, he would perform all the kingly duties. This is the love between the Lord and his devotees. And this is how we win the heart of Krishna, of Ram, through such selfless sacrifice. We see how beloved the Lord, how beloved the devotees are to the Lord. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad, Mad Bhakta Puja Bhadika, that if you want to please me, the best way is to please my devotees. Because my devotees have given up everything for my sake. This is Krishna consciousness. That same Supreme Lord, Sri Ramchandra, appeared in the Dwapara Yuga in his original form of Bhagwan Sri Krishna. And he has appeared again in this age of Kali in his most munificent of all incarnations, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to distribute profusely pure love of the Lord through the chanting of the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was none other than the original personality of Godhead. During the Mahaprakash at the house of Srivas Pandit, the Supreme Lord Sri Gauranga fulfilled all the innermost desires of his devotees. To Kolavecha Sridhar, that simple and loving banana salesman, he revealed his divine form of Sri Krishna. Mahaprabhu transformed into the beautiful form of Sri Krishna playing upon his flute in his threefold bending form. Complexion dark like a monsoon rain cloud, with lotus eyes, with peacock adorning his head. Kolavecha Sridhar seeing his beloved Shyam Sundar and the abode of Vrindavan all around, fell unconscious to the floor in ecstatic love. And then he called his devotee Murari Gupta, who from birth was a great, great devotee of Lord Ram. And right before his eyes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested that most beautiful and munificent form of Sri Ramchandra, standing there with a complexion like fresh green grass, as Valmiki Muni explains, holding his bow and quiver, beautifully adorned with golden crown and royal jewelry. Murari Gupta, all of his desires were ultimately fulfilled upon seeing his worshipable Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the Yuga avatar. But his greatest mission was to simply give pleasure to his devotees and to teach everyone the process of becoming such a devotee. Is there anything greater to attain than this? We have our jobs. We have all our responsibilities in this world. We have innumerable attachments to this world. But what will they bring us in the end? There is only one activity that touches the heart with real joy, and that is loving sacrifice and service to the Lord and his devotees. And to have the opportunity to serve the Lord's devotees is the greatest wealth in all of creation. Lord Ram himself worshipped his devotees. Sometimes this is misunderstood. After Ram killed Ravana by shooting that fatal arrow within the heart of this great demon, Lord Ram was feeling that he had made an offense, because Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And Ravana had gained great powers. So Ram was thinking that by killing Shiva's devotee, I may have made him feel bad. Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu. Lord Shankar is a great, great, the greatest of the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, of Lord Sri Ram. It is described that at Kashi, Varanasi, if someone leaves their body on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Shiva personally appears to that person and whispers the name of Ram in his ear. But Lord Sri Ram wanted to show how he loves his devotee. So at that holy place of Rameshwaram, he worshipped Lord Shiva. Just as Krishna worshipped Sudama Vipra by washing his lotus feet when he came to his palace. Just as Lord Jesus Christ, just the night before he left this world, the night before his crucifixion, he washed the feet of all of his devotees. And when Saint Peter said, "Master, I should be washing your feet. How can you wash my feet? I cannot permit this." He said, "No, you must. I must set the principle that if I am such a humble devotee of my devotees, if I am such a menial servant to wash the feet of my devotees,
how you should treat one another. So on this most auspicious day of Ram Navami, of course, we can speak the Leela of Ramayan, but it will take at least 8 or 9 hours. And I know you all want prasad before that. So I'm jumping like a monkey from place to place. But on this most auspicious day, this is what we should be meditating upon. How precious an opportunity we have to be here tonight with one another, to chant together, to dance together, to hear the glories of the Lord together. Because in doing this, we bring the greatest pleasure to Sri Ramchandra, to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. It is the appearance of Lord Ram. I would like to briefly narrate how the Lord appeared in this world. Feeling the heavy, heavy weight of such asuras like Ravana, the earth and all of the demigods could not withstand the suffering and pain they were seeing innocent people being inflicted with. And they were helpless. They could do nothing about it. It is a fact, even in our own personal lives, it is the Lord's pastime to put us in such a helpless condition where there's nothing we can do. Then we cry out his holy name. Then we, with all of our heart and soul, seek shelter of his lotus feet. It's at that time that he appears in our life. So the demigods, the Brahmins, the sages, the saints, the whole world, they were so much being persecuted by this Ravana. He ruled over everything. He would kill innocent people and drink their blood. And he had armies and armies and armies, multitudes of followers who were doing the same. There was total havoc. There was no peace of mind for anyone. So in this mood, the great devotees and the devatas, they approach Lord Brahma. Because they know you cannot approach God except through the spiritual master. Brahma is the father and guru for all the devatas, all the demigods. So they approached Lord Brahma and begged him on our behalf, please pray to the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Lord Brahma prayed to Krishna. And this was the message he received, that yes, you are all in a helpless condition, and you have all come to me with great devotion. Very soon I will descend on this earth. I will become the son of Dasarath in the Raghu dynasty. And he said, and all of you demigods, you should all beget within the wombs of the race of monkeys your own expansions and children, to powerfully assist me in this great mission. So these great, great demigods, they appeared in their expansions in a race of monkeys for the sake of serving their Lord. Very humble position. Meanwhile, Maharaj Dasarath, who was the king of Ayodhya, He was living in a beautiful royal palace. He had 350 queens who were all fully satisfied with his love and protection. Today, in this Kali Yuga, I have yet to meet a man who can fully satisfy even one wife. But he could satisfy 350. You can imagine such a personality he was. Although he was ruling the kingdom in such a state of God consciousness, he had such a pure heart, so devotion. He treated every citizen like his own child. But he was suffering. Because although he was such a powerful great warrior who no one could defeat in battle, and he was such a great statesman that everyone trusted him perfectly, and he had such royal opulence and wealth, he had no son. And it is the duty, the responsibility of a king to have a son to take the throne after he leaves. So Dasarath was in a miserable condition of lamentation. And when he was asked by his ministers, "Have you made some offense? Have you not properly treated a poor man who has come for help? Have you betrayed in any way the laws of God? Why are you suffering so?" He said, "No, I have not done any of these things, but I have no son." At that time, his minister, Sumantra, who was also his charioteer and dear friend, he said, "Maharaj Dasarath, Maharaj Dasarath, if you remember long ago, the four Kumaras, they gave you a benediction. They said that you would have one daughter. Her name would be Shanta. And that daughter would marry a great rishi of the name Rishyashringa. And he would perform a sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead would become your son. So I think we should go to where Shanta is living." Now Maharaj Dasarath was such a compassionate and merciful person that years before he had a daughter named Shanta. But there was another king of the name Romapad. And Maharaj Romapad had no offspring. And Maharaj Dasarath, feeling pity toward him, entrusted his own daughter to be raised by King Romapad just so that he would not have to suffer being without a child. And Maharaj Romapad, after years went by, married Shanta to a great saint of the name Rishyashringa. So Dasarath ji and Sumantra and his ministers, they went to the kingdom of Romapad, and they had such a friendship that Romapad just gave him nice place to stay and entertained him and just showed him so much affection for so many days. And alas, Dasarath Maharaj said, "Please, let me take Shanta and Rishyashringa to my kingdom to perform this yajna." So Rishyashringa came back to Ayodhya and he began this wonderful sacrifice, chanting of the Vedic mantras, calling upon the higher powers of God with such devotion. And part of the yajna in those days in the Treta Yuga is the gods themselves would come down, would descend before everyone's eyes to receive the prasad of the yajna that is offered to Vishnu.
at that time, Lord Brahma, Lord Narayan, they spoke to Dasarath. They said the Mahaprasad was payasam, or sweet rice, that you should take it and you should divide it amongst your principal queens. And from that prasad, the Lord will be born from their wombs. So Maharaj Dasarath took the Mahaprasad of the Yajna and he divided it in half. Half he gave to his dearmost queen, Kausalya. The other half he divided in two parts, three parts actually. And he gave two of those parts to Sumitra and one part to Kaikeyi. Soon after this payasam was eaten by the queens, they became effulgent like millions of suns. And four expansions of God appeared within their wombs. It is described in the Shastra that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. He expands himself in his original expansion as Baladev, who expands the womb of Sumitra as Lakshmana. Aniruddha appeared also in Sumitra as Satrughna. And Bharat appeared in the womb of Kaikeyi. Pradyumna appeared in Kaikeyi's womb as Bharat. King Dasarath was overjoyed with such gratitude and love to the Lord, as he saw the beauty of his queens increase day by day by day. And it was on this most auspicious day of the ninth day of the moon that the Supreme Personality of God, in his merciful form of Sri Ramchandra, appeared from the womb of Kausalya to liberate the world from illusion and ignorance and forever attract the hearts of his devotees. So at this time, in honor of this very auspicious occasion, we would like you all to celebrate the coming of Lord Ram into this world by chanting and dancing together for his pleasure during this wonderful aarti ceremony. Actually, Lord Ram has taught us this wonderful process in his original form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by chanting together, by dancing together. We give life and love to one another. And there's nothing that pleases Krishna more than that. So now let us celebrate the beautiful aarti ceremony of the appearance of Lord Ramchandra. Everyone, please rise. We should chant very loudly. We should raise our arms, reaching out for the causeless mercy of the Lord. With great enthusiasm, perform Sankirtan.
Shri Ram Chandra ki jai. Shri Ram Naomi ki jai.